Mr. Cameron, Reel 6. Now, you were just leaving Britain on HMS Andes in about June 1942. What were the conditions like aboard the Andes?
Well, it was the first time I'd been on a trooper, so it didn't really change whether they were good or bad.
Was it a proper trooper or just a converted passenger?
It was a converted passenger line. The Andes... But it had been quite a luxurious boat, you know, but we were right down below decks, about 6 decks. It was crowded, that's one thing about it, which most troopers were in those days, crowded and grim. And we were, on the Andes, we were right down below the Alps. Those who could sleep on the table did, and those who couldn't get to put in Alps from that. But it was very crowded.
What were you in?
Alps.
How did you manage with that? They're not that easy.
The first couple of nights were a bit peculiar, right? We used to sleep on the lie around in the pit at times, and on occasion that you got the chance to, you know what I mean, you could lie in 2 or 3 plants and be comfortable. So the army didn't make a deal of difference.
What other troops were aboard the Andes? Be more than...
There wasn't any infantry, there were mainly engineers and ordnance and artillery, same as I said. There weren't many infantry troops on that, not on the Andes, or on the next one either. I never travelled with any infantry troops. There were mainly that area men, I'd say.
And what do you remember of the voyage?
I know this, that we could do, in fact, I volunteered for this, the, around the deck where we were out on, let's say, outside decks, apart from below decks, because when you, once you've mustered on a morning and need your lifeboat stations and sort of road poles, then your town is more or less at home. But all around the ship's bay, we had blend boats mounted, and we had them stopped on the ship's bay for aircraft defense. Now, you could do 2 hours on there, and then a couple of hours up, 2 hours on, 2 hours up. And we didn't do any of the other duties, same as cleaning the cabins and such like. It's the same on other sport passenger days and things. But if you were then running, then that was fair, and we did that. So I was one of the team that did that on the brain runs. When we first went on the Andes, now we were only allowed to take, I think it was 10 wong. Each man was allowed 10 wong, an English one. But I didn't have none. So one of the, what I call one of the college boys, the great feeler, he gave me 10 wong to take for him. So, of course, once he got on board, he threw everything in his tent off my pipe. And I don't know anything. I had about 2 blocks somewhere about where it came from, I don't know. But I was standing, the big thing on a troop ship, they're all sitting on the deck playing Billy Tom Bowler. And it's Howsy Howsy. And there was a Howsy Howsy school right where I was. I was down from the last tanner, we were paid eventually on that boat, but I haven't been paid, I had no to start with. And I was down to my last tanner, it was a tanner of cards, and I said, bring your card. And I wasn't that big, standing there, and you know, it's a great book. while we never engaged any targets or anything, it was quite a gap to be there. The grain room was there, and it was loaded, and there was others. And we 10 yards or so, curled up standing with a loaded grain room, just in case we did get any attacks. And I won that grain load. Must have been about 3 or something, which was a hell of a thing, you know. And I never looked back after that, on the way up on that boat. We got off in Durban. Between winning that bingo and getting to Durban, I bought the Crown and Anchorboard. I won the Crown and Anchorboard, only 3 quid, and I got the boat that was running, you know. We broke it. Took it over myself. When I got off to Durban, I had a, what we call a cap comforter. Have you ever seen a cap comforter? It's like a scarf, but you can show the inside in, and you can make a hat for it. And I had that full of paper notes. It was about 90 niggas in a cap comforter.
You'd won that on the Crown of Anchor?
Yeah. The Crown of Anchor and Cardiff.
Now, you'd won it, you'd won that by betting. They'd won the board by betting the 3 quid you'd won on the housey off him.
Yeah.
Now, how did Crown and Anchor work then? Because there's not many people know these days.
Name of the game, you've got 6 dice. Crown and Anchor board has the 6 symbols on. The dice for Crown and Anchor, the dice for Anchor. No, they all have the 6 symbols on. Is it a crown, an anchor, the 6 symbols in your other sheet with the symbols on. Now, you can bet on what those 2 dice. That's 2 dice. You can bet on what those 2 dice is going to come up. But the symbol they're going to be on the Crown and Anchor board. So the secret is, like, you keep them going, it's sort of, come on, get covered, cover it, pull what you like, until you get all 6 to be level. And then you can throw your dice out, and then the 2 symbols that win, you pay them, even money, and you collect the other 4.
You can't lose.
As long as you kept all the symbols pretty level.
So how had you won him? What had he done wrong? You'd won it off someone.
I'd had a good one. I would guess it correctly every time, and he would come up again. He didn't have a big enough bank for a candy to say. When he came in, he said, oh, there's 3 or 4 quid he couldn't pay out to somebody else, but it's only.
So now Crown and Anchor was, you weren't supposed to play that, were you? Where would you play then? Where would you play to keep out of sight of the opposite sense?
Nobody wanted. You weren't supposed to play it, but there was nobody pushing it at all, it just left you alone. It had been a troop ship and you didn't want no trouble or anything. You just left it there. You knew there was no. There's going to be any trouble about it. I think it was a year we were being occupied. I kept them off the back as well.
So all you'd won was the board and 2 dice.
That's it. And I had a board full of money at the same time.
And how many would play Crown and Anchor? How many?
Oh, as many as could get round, because depending on some schools were popular, some were, you know.
What would be, why would you have a popular school? What?
It's hard to say, maybe the pattern they used to know, the pattern in those days, you know. Come on, let's have your money on the hook. What about the name of the game? Yeah. You're the different patterns than that.
And what other games would you play?
Mainly, of course, there was a housey. Which are most popular because it was the cheapest, you might say.
Did you run that at all?
No, I never bothered much with that. not played a great deal with it either, except that the times when the arranged the big Audi game, which was run by the Six-Star FM or something, you know, as many as could get in the hall would play there. What happened to the proceeds from that, I don't know, but I suppose they went to Six-Star and they paid them for something, you know.
What about your other gambling?
Your other thing was card games. Card games, Brag. Brag and Pontoon. Playing Pontoon. Now, I had a good lad with me, Jim Talbot. He could make a pack of that cards talk. And he was pretty good with that, with the Pontoon.
Would he actually cheat, or would he just count them?
It was a cheat. If you want to put it that way, he could deal me what he wanted to deal me. So often enough, he did. He deal me upon two and a half. Pitch in the nice. Every now and again, and I thought it was really like it took me the way I was going in that. I'd slap on. He'd get paid up for that. I'd get paid, but I wouldn't take the rank. I'd let you keep it. So I don't want to run the bank, you know. The post was back there for the day, the post was just quick. And I know it wasn't there, but it was so interesting. In those days, there was one on the other side.
And how much had you won in all by the end?
When I got off, like I said, I got off at Durham, I had around 96, I remember that.
Because that's a fortune then, isn't it?
It was a fortune. Did you see, we got on another troop ship, and went up to Sewers. That was the Eagle of France.
Hang on a minute, I'll come back to that. What about your stop at Durban?
It was wonderful. Durban, we've never seen anything like it. But of course, it was a long stretch getting from Liverpool to Durban. We must have gone right the other side of the Atlantic. And down the American coast, across, come round the bottom of Africa. The only place we saw on the way was Freetown, which was then Sierra Leone. It was the old coast, wasn't it? The old coast. That's where all the windmills come out of. And the darkest down there. There were a few columns there, you know. It was all wonderful meal to us. We've never been out of England before, didn't we? But when we got to Durban, we landed at Durban, the first thing I know is this, the march in full kit, the march to where our camp was, from the docks. We marched from the ship, out to the docks, and marched, and it was a hell of a march, and the sun was beating down. And we weren't in condition in any case, we were being lying down on the troop ship. So it must have been a couple of months at least to go on that boat. It's a long trip. And so that's when we would see dolphins and flying fish. We don't know what to do. But we got over there and we had a march up to that camp, Gentle Camp. And that was about the hardest march I ever won. We barely made it. Maybe in a little boat, don't get field service march at all. I barely made it to that camp at the front. And for a few of the boats, I got it still. But once we got organized, and it was only there about a fortnight, they let us get in dressed up in a tropical gear. I got some photos somewhere with these fancy tunics for the buttons on, you know. We call them topi hats, short trousers, but they were short trousers that folded up. It's real old fashioned gear, you know. Down in the dirt. And those people couldn't go enough for us, you know. It was wonderful. The beer was good, ice cream with fruit. Well, you have to say it to believe it. There was an before we got off the ship, we gave us this pub that turned us about the said on the thing, Carpy and Blue, we like the view. And it was telling us about that money in different places, particularly if you need it, I remember that. And I found out big enough because, like I say, we were on that glass. And there's a Piccaninny there running in front of me with a bloody great orange. And it was beautiful orange, you know, with that night like that. Yeah. Under my nose, it was ticky, ticky, mister, ticky, mister. And I was all around the stops there, and marked it. He could have had anything on me, any money that I'd give him, I could have got that rubbish, but I couldn't stop. But anyway, that was one of the places. That's where I first saw the conditions in South Africa. The darkies, bring around them lights. And the cherry blossom policies in the loads of their ears. That's the workers, the ones who built the camp. Difference in the conditions. It's hard to realize, you know, this is full of the what do you call it, the apartheid thing, but it's very strict. Then, you know, the mean that you can go anywhere in the air and you don't have the payment if you don't work.
What did you think of it at the time?
Well, it was ridiculous. But we had to do what we were told.
You didn't like it then?
Of course not. We didn't go naturally. We met that for us. We weren't class guys. We were the same as us, apart from the colour. And we had a pretty hard time. We could appreciate it was a hard time because we had a hard time for ourselves to work because we see them run their own in little rags.
Did that make you feel any worse towards the white population?
Well, it didn't then because the whites were so good to us, say. But I couldn't understand why it should be at all. It didn't. It just didn't seem right. I should be able to chance to sort of, you know. I would say I'm not really now, if anything, I'm more prejudiced now than I was then because the black-white thing, it's the blacks. They're entitled to have what they should have, but they want everything.
What?
But you, but that's my opinion. So now that it's not a thing that I would press upon. But then, to me, I thought they were oppressed. And they were. So they get a bit more equal now, but the title of equal that I don't like.
Now, anything else you remember? You were there about. How long were you there in Durban? And then you went on the Ile de France. And what was that like?
Nothing you could do except run, just a pair of short pants and a towel over there.
Over your stomach?
Yeah, because funny, the heat used to seem to affect that. The heat and the sweat and that seemed to affect your guts. Couldn't get nothing to Edson Salston, the drinking water was more like BBC water, whether it was converted or what, I don't know. But that's all I did on Monday, is to sing Edson Salston to the drinking water and drink that.
What about your gambling? How did that go, Neil?
Well, my £90, by the time I got the silver, so I had melted.
Now, why had you... What went wrong?
Just the looks from the other way, I think.
Were you still running a Crown and Anchor board?
For a while. Not for most of it. I seemed to get pretty involved very quick. Whether there was someone cleverer than the other, I don't know. And then so it all went.
Were you bothered?
No, not really, because you couldn't buy nothing with it. So you understand that there was nothing to buy. So on the end of the fence, you only had a certain amount of fans, so you had your money to buy your fans, you couldn't buy it at all. And that's what I was to get, but I just got it up, pushing shots or whatever it was. So I had no money to do. It was only like a hand that you thought that you had money to get, which was new. We didn't buy millions of grand.
Now you were going up to Port Suez. Anything happened on the journey?
When we used to go across the road, he did open this little bit of ship's canteen. So you couldn't stand on deck. If you stood on deck and you touched the rail, you couldn't get your hand. You couldn't stand in the sun any length of time. We couldn't, we weren't used to it at all. And we'd come from where that ballroom was, and there'd be a length of deck. The width of this room. There's the dust from that doorway, into that doorway, and down the steps there to get to the shop where we sold a couple of hours a day. You should stand in the doorway, that's a clock. Through the bloody shop.
Just about 8 or 10 foot, but you're still dashed.
You used to sprint across there because it's so bloody hot. And you were hot in any case, coming from underneath where there was a sweltering hot, sweat flying on you. And you couldn't stand out in the sun for about this. So you got the way really straight from England, you know. But that was a hottest day I ever remember on that really good place.
So what happened at, when you got to Port Suez itself? Is that where you disembarked?
Disembarked at Suez. Suez. But it wasn't so that we were on the side because we had the road just on the ferry. We marched from somewhere. And marching onto that ferry. The very first time we were on the ferry, it shows you all got a few times after that. This is the origin. But all this was, you know, was nobody. We all trying to get from you. We wanted to show you something. But there were thieves, there were two leaves, but we didn't know that.
Did you lose anything?
Not right then that I know of. But you soon learned that you had to be careful. There was occasions later on we found out that you were there on the ferry itself, you know. Everybody used to stand on the rails like that, you know. And these kids would be on the outside of the ferry, you know. When you wait away, the first there and your watch gone, and you'd be into the water and away with it. Now, I only saw it happen once, but I heard of it happening out from there. But you soon learned. And it went long way and they put it in the circle. And then you would understand the watches. It's probably a lovely watch. They were clever. They showed you a lovely watch. and works and everything, you know. So, well, I'm not it, I'm not what I'm. So I asked when he got that watch, and the dog disappeared and quickly, you know, and he had a look in the back of it, just a bloody watch, just a case there, you know, might be stuck for the few bits of store or something. Oh, yeah, you were marvellous. You were pretty clever. Like I say, Jim Talbot thought he was a card shop man with those pigs, with their galladeers. Gully Gully Boys.
What are Gully Gully Boys?
They were entertainers, street entertainers. And he'd come around where you were sitting. This is later on, after we'd been there a few days, you know, got out and had a look around and so was just from there. Kids would come around the cafe, Gully Gully, Gully Gully, Gully Gully. And for a few actors, for a couple of actors or everybody, he'd show you concentrate. And they pull chickens from anywhere. And I mean anywhere. They pull one out, they look a chicken, a live chicken, you know. And all they had on was one of these, the galladeer had like a long nightshirt. And their little face. Where they kept them at, I don't know. And Jim Talbot thought he could have a pack of cards, but these kids were a British old cowboy, you know what I mean? They could tell them. And like I say, you have to be careful, your wallet or anything. You always had your repay book in a piece of green orange cane that's a put on a gas tray, a pocket knife, and like a pouch with a string on it. Yeah, that string on it, that's a pouch down inside the shirt, and the repay book in there, not in your shirt pocket outside.
What good would a pay book be to them, though?
Well, I don't know, but you could use them. You know, that's a pay book. I don't really reckon it was a hell of a lot of spies and things and carry it all.
They could sell them?
Yeah, they'd probably be able to sell them.
Now, what camp did you cross the thing then? Almost, which camp did you go to first?
The very first place I went to was there.
That would be a transit camp.
It was a transit camp. But you couldn't tell one camp from the other because all the way down the main road on the side of the Suez Canal, they were all ethnic camps. You couldn't see the sand for keeps in camps. The Chateau Shufties, the Pitcher Halls, the whole length of the canal, it was all British, well, British, so British, so